Big questions, even bigger guests. This is The Big Interview.
Good day and welcome to the SL Podcast. On this week's episode of The Big Interview, we are joined by the CEO of Soccer Dream, Ariz Alberti. Soccer Dream is an international footballing scouting agency based right here in our beautiful country. Ariz discusses the model he's based Soccer Dream on and the philosophy that goes with it. He dives deep into the local game and the process he uses to scout local talent for clubs overseas. Soccer Dream director Studuzo Masuku also joins the SL Podcast to talk about the empathetic side of Soccer Dream and what they do, and how being scouted isn't only based on what you can do on the pitch. Gentlemen, good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you, Aiden. Thanks for having us.
Thank you very much for joining us today, gentlemen. So, Ariz, to get the show on the road, would you please tell us a little bit about yourself and your background?
So, I'm from Italy. I'm a former footballer. I used to play for Empoli in the early 2000s, and then I played professional, semi-professional football. I got injured when I was very young, in my 20s, and then I realized that I still have a vocation into football, and I became a scout for Padova. I used to help them out with the East European market, and then in 2009 I got my FIFA license in Italy, and from there obviously we start scouting initially in Europe. And then in 2008 I had the opportunity to come to South Africa for the first time. At that time, I was working with IMG Italy, obviously it's a big agency company worldwide. And my mandate was to see if we have enough talent in South Africa to start doing business in this country. And from there, obviously, there's been an escalation. And since in 2012, when I relocate permanently in South Africa and we start this Soccer Dream, where obviously, you know, we focus on identifying raw talent to obviously give them the opportunity to play professional football.
And now, Ariz, once again, in 2015, one of my colleagues from Kickoff spoke with you and sat you down. What have you been up to since then, and what new adventures have you embarked on?
Wow, that's a long time ago. As someone said, the internet never forget anything. No, but you know, it's been a roller coaster, as you know very well. It's any business, you know, you have ups and downs, and you have to learn the process, you know, and you go through good days and bad days. But for me, it's been very exciting, this journey, where you know, I came from failure. You know, my first academy in South Africa didn't work out. I took a break for a couple of years, and then I think, you know, when you have passion for something, you have a vocation, you know, you always go back to your passion, and many things have changed. You know, I think now we are steadier than ever, and I think also the experience through these failures really help us, you know, to be who we are today as a brand, as a Soccer Dream, which is always trying to expand and obviously do things better. And obviously things are changing very fast in our society right now, especially with the pandemic, you know, trends and the way people, they see football or they do football has changed drastically compared with a couple of years ago. And we're always trying to be ahead and see also what the best in the world they're doing, because we humble enough, you know, to trying to learn from others, you know, to make our projects and our brand better on a daily basis.
Absolutely. Now, would you be able to please talk us through almost, you could say, the building process of Soccer Dream? When did the vision come into fruition?
Yeah, thanks for having me, Aiden, as well. You know, it was 2017 when I met with Ariz, and we had a chance, you know, to look into the football structures in South Africa. Like he said, that he tried in 2015, you know, 16, and then it didn't go as planned. And then we met, and you know, we sat down, and then we looked what was it that was lacking that we can try the gap that we can try and close. And then we saw that, you know, there's a lack in opportunities for some of the players in South Africa, especially when it comes to getting opportunities to go overseas. And then we came with this program, Soccer Dream. That's when Soccer Dream started in South Africa. And then we hosted our first football clinic. I think it was in 2019. It went quite well. you know, we had numbers, and we invited a very, very famous coach. You know, he's coached Qatar under 21 team, Georgia under 21 as well, and he's very influential in the Italian football, of course, where Aris comes from, and coach Roberto Nandi. So he was conducting the first session, our first ever football clinic in South Africa, which we held in Sandton at Sandown High School in Sandton. So it went quite well. We discovered a lot of talent at that time, and since then we never looked back. You know, we started picking up, and a lot of players from all over the country, not all over South Africa as well, but in some other countries in Africa like Namibia, Ghana, Zambia. We had a lot of players also from outside on our second international football clinic, which we did in 2020. And also we had the privilege of coverage from SuperSport TV, where we appeared on our first Alive PSL show. So yeah, it's been very quite interesting. We've discovered a lot of players. We got a player from Namibia. We got another boy from Zambia, and we discovered another player also from South Africa. Some of them are currently in Italy at the moment, you know, trying their luck that side. Mm. So it's been very interesting the way things have unfolded since we started the program in South Africa, and we've learned so much, and we've opened doors for so many players as well from South Africa and outside South Africa as well.
So you mentioned the word process there. I would like to know what the process is from start to finish. How do you guys find local talent and send them to clubs in Europe? What is that process? What do you look for?
Obviously, we first of all, the most important thing is to have the right people in the team, the right people that understand exactly our philosophy. And when we look for this talent, we're not only looking for the talent for players that can only play football, but we look for individuals also that can go out there and represent the country. We always check the player's character, how responsible are they? Because, you know, football has changed so much. It's no longer, back in the days, it was all about talent and talent. But these days, if you look at it, it requires more than talent. So as an individual, you need to be prepared, whether, you know, lifestyle-wise, your character, and also you need to put in an extra effort now. So when we try and look for these players, you know, in it's a fact that in disadvantaged communities, there's a lot of boys, and of which we're focusing on boys, not girls as yet, that also go through so much in their upbringing. So you need to look at those things and try and see how you can help them become men, you know, because some of them were not taught certain things. And also when we scout for these players, we understand that also, which is a fact also, not to step on people's toes, but that our development in South Africa is not really at that level compared to other countries in Europe, you know, specifically in Europe and other countries in Africa as well. So we try and assist where we can, even though sometimes, you know, it's very difficult, but that's what we signed up for. So we look at all the aspects of the game, not only on the technical or tactical side, but also outside the pitch as well. How do they live? And, you know, we try and motivate them to become better citizens. And if they get an opportunity to go outside of the country, also to behave on the other side, and also just to have that character and that willingness to fight for the opportunity. So that's our model that we use.
And I've been doing a bit of research on you guys, and I see you guys are hosting some international trials from the 17th to the 20th of December. And right now, I believe you guys are hosting academy trials. What are the purpose of each of these trials? What is the difference between the academy trials and international trials?
Okay, Aiden. So the academy trials obviously is to look, identify players, to put it in our academy structure. We have an academy that is based here in Johannesburg, in Parktown North. And obviously the academy is also a platform to help the players that we identify to go overseas to come and prepare themselves for the opportunity. What is very important is to understand that, you know, going overseas is not just catch a flight and go there and play football. There is a preparation behind, as Duduzo said, you know, mentally, physically, and especially tactically. You know, Aiden, a situation that we, you know, we find out, you know, through experience and making mistakes and adjust as well, is we have very talented boys on the board, but the tactical aspect of the game hasn't been implemented most of the time when we speak about junior players, you know. And juniors, I'm not just mentioning under 15, but I'm also mentioning under 19. So when you go on the other side, and you know, the level of sophistication of the tactical aspect of the game, especially non-possession, really play a huge role. And we saw players that they have fantastic qualities on the ball, but unfortunately they were lacking of tactical abilities or football intelligence in the situation of the game. So it's very important for us to have the academy to prepare players to opportunities, and especially using the metrics that they're going to find in Europe. So that's why we always host in academy trials. And with regards to international trials, obviously, is to identify players that they're going to go to Italy next year. Normally, when you win the competition, because many people, they're asking us, so how many players are you guys selecting? And we always say, the best of the best. We don't have an exact number. You know, we identify talent. Then that talent get channeled into the academy with the metrics that have been discussed with, obviously, with our partners overseas, to understand, obviously, which position and what they're looking into the players, and especially what kind of work we have to do with the players before we send them overseas. So obviously, if you see the bigger picture, everything fit holistically, you know, in the final vision of the company that is creating success for these boys. And as Studuzzo said, obviously, the part of outside the field, especially when you go to Europe, is more important than your performance, because you have to behave in a certain way. You need to have discipline. You need to understand the importance of the time, you know, I respect the time. I respect, obviously, certain rules that are basics in Europe. But, you know, sometimes, because most of the boys, they might come from informal environment, it's, you know, you need to spend time with them to let them understand, obviously, the entire dynamics and process.
Absolutely. That's really wonderful to hear. Studuzzo, earlier you mentioned that the fruition of Soccer Dream started in about 2017. Since then, can you guys tell me some of the success story that you have seen throughout these 4 years or so, and how many players have gone to Europe and have actually made the cut?
Since we started, we had a couple of boys. Like, you know, it is, I'm just going to put it out there, it has always been challenging for us to actually get the right kind of players that will fit perfectly into the structures of the clubs that we're trying to send in Europe. So we've had a couple of players also that have went there, like two boys in 20, that was in 2019. They went there, you know, the boys were quite good as individuals, but in a team structure, they struggled a bit, and also they struggled with the environment. Hence, we went back, and in 2020, when we hosted the second trials, what we did, the international camp, what we did was we looked into all those aspects of the players, of which we identified the areas in which we are lacking in terms of picking the right players that we want to send overseas. And then we discovered a boy from Namibia, of which we had a thorough look at him, and also which led to us also, you know, starting the academy so that we can work with these players. So JJ Cordom is currently in Italy. So he's doing very well. You know, this is 2021. So we discovered him in 2020. So since then, we've sent about 5 players, if I can be precise.
Yeah, so Aiden, if I just add what Studuzzo said, you know, in terms of successful story, throughout, because obviously Soccer Dream is not just in South Africa, and we run program also in Southern Africa, where it's our main target. So we have a boy that is signed for Atalanta in September. His name is Mana. He's playing, actually, he was in Manchester a month and a half ago with the first team for the Champions League game against Manchester United. He played for Atalanta. His name is Mana Kwizera. We have Mutale Joshua, that is another boy from Zambia that we sent to Lexus in Portugal. At the moment, we have three boys on the trials. As I say, Sluduso is JJ Cordom, is in the fourth division in Italy. And we have a boy from Cape Town that, you know, I'll give you the news today. It seems he's going to sign next week in a fourth division team in Italy. So, well done, Cape Town. And we still have two boys under trials. And these two boys, at the moment, they're at Modena. Modena is a third division team in Italy, but they have a good history. They've always been between Serie A and Serie B. So those are the boys that are in the system through the international trials. But obviously, Soccer Dream is not just international trials. Obviously, we have a network of scout coaches, and we have a list of players that, you know, we sent not just in Italy but all over Europe. You know, from Amadou Diawara, I'm sure you know the name is quite familiar. He's playing for Roma. He came from Napoli. He was at Rimini, and we scout the boy, you know, in a scouting tour, you know, with a couple of agents. Work with. So there's a lot that we're doing, but obviously our focus now is to give an opportunity to the South African boys, and hopefully, you know, Leo Mert, that at the moment is about to sign, will be one of the first, obviously, from the program, you know, to really sign and start his journey in Italy.
Gentlemen, one thing I must ask you. In the early 80s and late 90s, the likes of Mark Fish, Lucas Radebe, Linda Buthelezi, Eric Tinkler, Stephen Pienaar, all South Africans, they had success in Europe. But back then, there were a lot less academies than there are now. It's almost like the tables have turned. Why would you say there are fewer and fewer players from South Africa heading off overseas, Europe, America, wherever, and making it?
I think, you know, it's first of all, a generational thing, you know. Sometimes, you know, you have a decade where you have fantastic players, you know, and that group obviously achieve fantastic things for the country. Then, obviously, society-wise, I think there's been a big challenge. And, you know, Aiden, I'm sure you've been watching, you know, football in the 80s, 90s, and 2000. And obviously, the quality of the players has been dropped since then. In terms of the technicality of the players, being a footballer, where obviously the today trend is you need to be an athlete, number one, you know, especially with the recent pace of the games, you know. And then obviously come the football sides. To answer to you, why many academies and less players... with the past, I think there is less commitment in general with the boys. You know, I think now we live in a society where the process is not important anymore and everybody's focusing on the outcome. And unfortunately, if you don't take care of the process, you know, and you don't put the work, the outcome won't come out as you expected. And this is a worldwide trend. You know, I can mention even in Italy, the quality of our boys has dropped comparing in the early 2000 when I used to play and before that. So I think we need to go back a little bit more on the basics, work on the core values of the children and the boys, and let them understand that nothing comes easy, you know. And we're in touch with thousands of kids every year, and what we see is there is the dream. The dream is there. There is the expectation of becoming something. But many, they don't have the art to put everything on the
process. Commitment, you could say.
The commitment, you know, to be consistent. And I think, you know, Mark and Philemon and all the boys, you know, I'm very close to the late pastor Philemon's, and because his previous coach, Eugenio Fascetti, lives literally 300 meters from my hometown. So we neighbors and that generation of coaches, of players, you know, they build everything on dedication and commitment. And I think that's also for our local players.
Yeah. Just to add on that as well, you know, you mentioned a very important point there. What we've been dealing with as well, you know, at Soccer Dream is that the times have changed a lot. The society has changed, and a lot of players, you know, like Aris mentioned, I don't think they have the right mindset and the commitment, you know, to trust the process as well. They're always looking at the final goal, but they forget about the process. So those are the difficulties that we face at Soccer Gym. So I think it's their commitment issues. That's why a lot of players are not heading overseas these days.
It seems to be that the journey is also important, not just the destination. But guys, moving on, Ariz, you've spent years and years watching football. You've been scouting local talents for a few decades now. What are some of the similarities you've seen between South African players compared to their European counterparts?
I think we don't realize how lucky we are in terms of natural talent, you know. And that should be, obviously, you know, the stepping stone to build the rest. I'm referring to our local footballers, you know. I always say, you know, the pace of our games locally, you can't find it anywhere, because in terms of stamina and endurance, I think South African players are the most, one of the best in the world. Obviously, there are certain experts, for example, the tactical expert. I remember we have many informal academies in the country. So most of the times, and we appreciate what people are doing, you know, but obviously, you know, you need to channel it into a process and a system that obviously produce at least the basics for the boys to move to the next level. And I think where we're struggling right now is we have many boys where there are some good elements that can obviously take them to the next level. But if the technical aspect hasn't been developed from the young age, then the limits will come out. And I think that's the main difference. I don't want to touch the tactical aspect, because can be learned obviously on the later stage of your development. But the basics, the technical part, I think it's where we're lacking at the moment comparing with Europe. But in terms of physicality, endurance, and obviously natural ability, creativity, you know, to do certain things, we're way above of the Europeans. We just need to channel the basics of these boys from the age of 6 till the age of 12, you know. Sometimes we have boys at the age of 17, 18, they can't do much with their weaker foot, you know. And when you go to Europe, if you are a center back, you need to be comfortable with both feet. We can't play with the right. So there is always something missing, you know. We're always close, but there's always something missing. And what we realize, that those are the basics.
All right, let's stay in South Africa here. Looking at the local talent plying their trade in the PSL, the DStv Premiership, do you see any players or think that any of those players in this league have the quality and potential to make it overseas?
We always argue about that.
Yeah. Come on, guys, let's hear some names there.
You know, if I may be just... if I may be honest with you, and also, you know, looking at the talent that we have, for the past two seasons in South Africa, we've seen some glimpses there and there. Like, you know, Aris mentioned that it's just that little bit of something that's always missing. You know, we've got the natural talent, but then, you know, it shows that somewhere, somehow, some of these players, when they get to this level, you can see that there are a few steps that they missed, or maybe they were not, you know, taught well enough in those days. So just to answer your question, you know, the percentage is very low. If you look at the number of players that can make it overseas in the DStv Premiership. Why am I saying that? You know, like the standard of football has improved a lot. You know, if you look at like we mentioned before, it's no longer just about the talent, of which is South Africa 100% has, but it's a whole lot more than that. And if you look at commitment in South Africa compared to the commitment in Europe, you know, we always watch, Aris and I, we always watch these documentaries. You know, I was watching the Tottenham Hotspur documentary, All or Nothing. You know, you could feel the pressure from the players, you know, without the coaches even saying anything. Like, you could see the whole process from taking a player from a certain level to another level. It requires a lot of commitment, not from the coach only, but from the players as well. So there has been an issue in South Africa, an ongoing issue. I know the development part also plays a massive role, but also I think a commitment issue from the players. I don't think our players, there's a few number, if I may just be honest with you, that you can tell that actually they're putting in the work, or they believe that they can get to the certain level. I think most of them, they just become comfortable with where they are, and they don't look into challenging themselves more to the next level, to the European level.
Now, Aiden, I'm going to give you names because you ask us names. potentially for me, unfortunately, you know, he's been very unlucky in his career. Rivaldo Cozzi, I think he had all the potential to play at in Europe. And in terms of potential, I think he went to Europe, obviously did not stay long for other reasons, but I think Kelmy Erasmus, these two boys, I think they had massive potential to make a big statement in Europe. And
Mlumbu Jana, the midfielder from Highlands Park.
I understand. You see, Aiden, is also sometimes it's not about the talent, it's about the timing.
Yeah.
The timing means when are you ready? When are you mature enough to have the opportunity? But is he still matching the time of the scouts and the metrics that they're using, you know, when the scouting players? And we know very well some of the boys, they become better, it's like wine when they're getting older. But obviously the European market looks in the teenagers market, you know, most of the time, or early 20s. But I think these two boys, especially Rivaldo, as he could play, you know, a very high level in Europe if he did not have all these injuries.
That was part one of the two-part series with the CEO and director of Soccer Dream. Stay tuned for part two, where we ask our reasons to do so more telling questions relating to the local game and more specifically Bafana Bafana.
Big questions, even bigger guests. This is The Big Interview.